Thank you. darkness. The sky didn't make a sound. No breeze to soothe the weary soul. No tears of heaven to wash away the bloodied timbers of the cross. We held our breath in disbelief. The guards watched in confusion. Jesus, the King of the Jews, is dead. How could this happen? We believed him. Is this the great deception of heaven, that we would be mocked and misled by God? The prophets promised one that would save us, one who would bring freedom and healing. We thought it was this Jesus. We were sure it was him. But he is a man just like the rest of us. And now we are left alone.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on the cursed tree.
Darkness had won, heaven silent as a tomb. But then, out of the shadows, something happened.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever.
Light. The sky shook in power. Heaven rolled away the stone. Jesus, the King of Kings, is alive. No tears of grief could wash away the joy in our hearts. We held our breath in disbelief, and the guards were paralyzed in fear. How could this happen? We saw him. Is this the great miracle of heaven, that we would be loved and redeemed by God? The prophets promised one that would save us, one who would bring freedom and healing. It is this Jesus. We are sure of it. He is a man just like the rest of us, but he is God, sent to redeem us. And now we stand together, never alone, singing praise to our God forever and ever. With one voice, to one name, the name above every name, Jesus Christ, the risen King.
Wonderful way to begin our Resurrection Sunday morning worship service. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Oh, we can do better than that. For centuries, the Christian church has been proclaiming that message on Resurrection Sunday morning. When we say Jesus Christ is risen, everybody else says he is risen indeed. So let's do that again. And I promise you, you're going to hear that at least five or six more times in our worship service this morning. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. We gather to celebrate the risen Lord this morning. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon. We are excited that you are here with us. If you're a first-time guest, take a moment to fill out a visitor's card this morning. Drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. If you are watching us for the first time online this morning, thank you for joining us via Facebook Live. Send me an email this week. I'll follow up with you this morning. For those that are joining us via Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us this way. Go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. You can pull up our worship bulletin there to guide it in our time of worship this morning, and also our ministries that are going on here at First Baptist Elon. For our full house today in our worship service this morning, our sanctuary, it is great to see your smiling faces. We had a big, beautiful beginning to our worship service, our worship day of celebration this morning, with a great turnout for our sunrise service at 7 a.m. today with our community service, and that has just carried through to our time of worship today. We look forward to celebrating the risen Lord today. That's why we gathered. Let's sing praise to the one who is risen. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's sing praise to him this day.
Our first hymn this morning is Christ the Lord is risen today. Let's sing.
Thank you.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 118, reading verses 1 and 2 and verses 14 through 24. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice in the Lord this day, on this Resurrection Sunday morning. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let us pray. Father, we repeat our Easter shouts of surprise and joy again and again, for news of your victory over powers of death and evil is news so startling, so amazing, so different from the news that bombards us day by day. Beyond our comprehension, you startle us again and again with resurrection life, bringing grace and hope and joy. You and your risen power are shaping all of our days, and so we praise you this day, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We lift this prayer in the name of the risen Lord, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hopefully it will cool off in here soon. I kind of mess with the air conditioner, so if you get cold, it's my fault. Our next hymn is Low in the Grave He Lay. Now, we're going to do something that we always do every year. On the verse, I want you to sing very softly. And then when we get to the chorus, Up from the Grave, I want you to shout it to the roof. Every time, okay? Let's stand.
Save your way, take the coming day.
seated. Our next hymn this morning is He Lives, and we're going to sing all the verses. Let's stand.
Yeah.
Would you bow with me for the offertory prayer? Generous and surprising God, when we thought that death had claimed your only Son, you amazed us with the resurrection. Surprise us again with your ability to turn these humble offerings that we bring to you into gifts that will transform the world through our witness to your love. We lay our very lives at your feet, O God, knowing that you will use us to proclaim and embody the gospel and the resurrection story. Amen. I want to give special thanks to our bell choir and our worship choir for the music they brought to our time of worship this day. If you would, join with me once again in prayer before we encounter God's word this morning. Risen Lord, on this Easter morning, we welcome you, Jesus, into our lives. We welcome your resurrection, for it is life-changing, life-giving, and life-sustaining. We welcome the hope it brings to our world. We welcome the joy it brings to our darkness. We welcome the empty tomb, for we know that it means you are on the loose. Lord, may your resurrection give life to those who feel lifeless, those who are just going through the motions, and those who have had the death of a loved one. Lord, may your resurrection give hope to those who are mired in despair, who feel hopeless this day, and who have given up all hope. Lord, may your resurrection give joy to those who feel no joy, lost their joy, or have had their joy snuffed out. Lord, may you be on the loose in this world as the risen one, and may you be on the loose in our lives this day. Amen. Again, I want to say good morning and thank you for joining us this morning at First Baptist Elon on this Resurrection Sunday morning. A couple hours ago, I had the great pleasure of preaching the reflection or the homily at our sunrise service, and I used a sporting analogy in that time this morning. I will not be preaching the same sermon this morning for those that were there this morning at 7 o'clock, so you cannot take a nap right now while I preach this sermon. However, it was kind of fitting as I finished up this morning and as I came to church, was getting ready for the services and the things that we had going on today here at First Baptist. I got a text from a minister friend. I'm a part of a minister's group, have been one a part of a minister's group ever since we graduated from Campbell Divinity School many, many years ago. Everybody's phones is about to go off right now. You can go ahead and pull them out. Mine's over there on the... Everybody good? All right. We love technology. Back to what I was saying. So I've been a part of a minister's group for 20 plus years now. We meet once a month. And as I was getting prepared this morning, got a text from one of our ministers who was leading worship at another church in Alabama this morning. And his text went, "All right, ministers, are you ready for the Super Bowl of Sundays?" You see, in minister circles, Easter Sunday is known as the Super Bowl of Sundays. Not Christmas. Everybody thinks all Christmas is that. No, no, no. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is the Super Bowl of Sundays. This is the big day. This is the Sunday that defines our Christian faith. And if you want to argue with me about it, we'll do it on another day other than the day that is the Super Bowl of Sundays. But as we think about this day, as we think about Resurrection Sunday, it encompasses who we are, what we believe, and why we're all here, not just this Sunday. And as I thought about that text this morning, I thought to myself, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday we celebrate the risen Lord. This Sunday we identify and we'll read it from Scripture, but every Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday. So we proclaim it today extra loud, but we proclaim it next Sunday as well. So don't forget that. If there's any message you take away from this service today, know that every single day, not just Sundays, but every single day is Resurrection Day, because Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. This morning, let me start out with a few scenarios this morning just to think about. Every day a gentleman went to work. Every day he would ride the elevator all the way to the bottom floor of his high-rise apartment building that he lived in. But when he came home from work, he would ride the elevator back up to only the sixth floor. Then he would take the stairs to the apartment many stories higher in that building. This he did every single day unless it was raining. If it was raining, he would ride the elevator all the way to the floor at the top of the building. Why did he do this? Here's another one for you this morning. Anne is lying dead on the floor. There's broken glass and water all around her. Stuart is asleep on the couch, seemingly oblivious to the death that has occurred in the same room. How did Anne die? Did you ever play those kind of mind games when you were growing up? Those little funny little stories that you had to figure out the details just by simply listening to a story, and then you got a chance to ask just yes or no questions to the individual. Maybe you had somebody else in the room that was trying to compete against you to figure out the answers. Ever play those stories? I loved those little mind games because it made you think and use parts of the minds that maybe you didn't like to use. I'll share the answers with those stories right now because I don't want you to be thinking about them while I'm preaching my sermon this morning. In the first one, the reason the gentleman would only go to the sixth floor on his return home from work was because that was the highest button that he could reach on the elevator control panel. He was a short man. On days that it rained, however, he had his umbrella with him, and then he could punch the top button that he needed to go to and reach the upper level floor. In the second situation, it might help you to know that Ann, the one lying dead on the floor, is a fish, and Stuart, lying on that couch, is a cat. The glass and water all around Ann is from her fishbowl that Stuart has successfully knocked over when trying to play with Ann. Let's try one more this morning, something for you to chew on. On Friday night, a man dies. He is buried on the same night. On Sunday morning, some friends of his arrive at the tomb where he was buried to pay their last respects, only to discover that his body is gone. What happened? That's the situation that we are going to look at this morning and ultimately ask this simple question: which one are you? If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18 this morning. As you turn to the passage this morning, the words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. You can also turn to your pew Bibles. There's pew Bibles there in the pew in front of you or below you. You can turn to one of those as well. As you turn, our focus this morning are going to focus on the three individuals, the beloved disciple who we will refer to as John. Most scholars believe that is who the beloved disciple is, Simon Peter and Mary Magdalene. Three individuals that encounter the empty tomb in the Gospel of John. Each of these individuals encounter the same situation at the empty tomb, but each handled it in a completely different way. So reading John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18 this morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go and say to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had seen these things, has said these things to her. So, early in the morning, returning to our scenario, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb of Jesus, presumably to properly anoint Jesus' body, something they were unable to do because of the Jewish holy day. In the other gospel accounts, we see it was multiple women who came to the tomb and entered the tomb. But this morning, we're going to stay with the Gospel of John's account. When Mary comes to the tomb, she sees that the stone has been rolled away. That was one answer to a prayer she had. She had no idea of how to get in. No guards to be found. Instead of going in, she knows that something is not right. And she rushes off to tell the disciples. Her fear is that someone had taken the body of Jesus. A stone rolled away and no guards to be found was mysterious enough for the beloved disciple John and Simon Peter to rush off to the tomb, fearing the exact same thing that Mary feared. Mary Magdalene, John, and Peter head off to the tomb to see for themselves this empty tomb. Did they have the answer to why it was empty? In the back of their minds, maybe. Jesus had spoke about it before, but in the crisis of the moment, no. They did not have their answer. What they needed to decide for themselves was, why was the tomb empty now? And what did it mean for them? This is the same thing that we must decide for us today. We all agree that the tomb is an empty tomb. You would not be here today if you did not believe that very thought, that the tomb is empty. But the question is this: how are you going to respond to the empty tomb? How is it going to affect your life? Because we can leave the tomb empty, but it has to affect you. And there are three responses that we can approach today. And those three responses are the same responses that we see that the disciples, that Mary, John, and Simon responded at that morning. Three different people came to the tomb that day, and each responded in a different way. First, we have John the believer. The first to arrive at the tomb after the news was John. When John heard the news, he jumped up and ran with all his might to get to the tomb. He wanted to believe. He loved Jesus. Of all the disciples, he had been the most faithful. He had been in the courtyard when Jesus was interrogated and sentenced to die. He had been at the foot of the cross when Jesus hung there dying. He had willingly taken Jesus' mother into his home to care for her. He was so excited about the possibility that Jesus might actually be alive that he ran faster than he had ever run before. You ever been there before? Have you ever been in that moment where you've done something beyond you possibly thought you can do? I wish you could say it was running for me. I've never been there. Never felt that way. Wes Carroll's running track for his school. He's felt that way, haven't you, Wes? He has felt that way. We've talked about it. I live vicariously through Wes right now and running fast. But when he got to the tomb, he did not go in. He looked inside and saw some of what Mary had said was there, but he stayed outside. Maybe he stayed outside because he had to catch his breath after that long run. That would be me. Maybe he stayed outside because he was afraid of what was inside. What if Mary was wrong? What if Jesus' body had been moved to another part of the grave? He did not want to see Jesus all mangled from the torture of the beating and the cross. He had witnessed that already. He did not want to see it again. What if once he and Peter were inside the tomb, the guards were going to jump out of hiding and suddenly arrest them? It could be that this was all an elaborate trap set up by the Roman officials to catch their closest believers. They take Jesus' body away to lure the disciples there, and they would arrive and arrest them too. Maybe, just maybe, that's why John stayed on the outside of the tomb. After a few minutes, Peter arrived at the tomb. Brazen Peter walked right in without the slightest hesitancy. He saw everything inside. The linen that had covered Jesus' body was lying in place, like Jesus' body had just dematerialized from inside the clothing. When Peter arrived and entered the tomb, John figured that it must be okay to enter, so he then went in too. They both saw all the evidence, but they had different responses to the evidence. John saw and believed. The empty grave was enough evidence for him. Jesus really had risen from the dead. John did not see Jesus to know that Jesus was alive. He did not need that. He had heard Jesus' prophecies about his coming death and resurrection, and now here was the empty tomb. For John, it was simply enough. There are many people like John here today. We believe because there is an empty tomb, and that's all we need. And because there is the testimony of Christians throughout history to the fact that Jesus is alive, that's all we need. We do not need to see to believe. We join with John in being the ones who Jesus said just a few verses later in the same chapter, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John reacted to the empty tomb with belief. But what about Simon Peter? Simon Peter, the one that the church would be built upon, the one that was quote-unquote designated as the leader of the disciples, Simon Peter, the skeptic. Peter was a little slower than John to arrive at the tomb. Maybe it was because John was younger than Peter, or maybe it was because all those years of fishing had given Peter arthritis of the knees and back. I feel Peter's pain. I feel what he's going through, as many of you do feel my pain as well. Or maybe it was because he was just too afraid of what he might find. He was not afraid of soldiers so much. He had pulled a sword when Jesus was being arrested, even whacking off the ear of one of those in the crowd. Peter wanted to see Jesus, but there was a part of him that dreaded that simple idea. The last time that he had looked into the eyes of Jesus was just after Peter had denied him three straight times. If Peter saw Jesus, he knew he was going to be confronted with his sin and his guilt. He was not sure that he could handle it, especially on that day. Peter's vision was clouded by the pain that he felt over his past. He wanted Jesus to be alive, but he did not know how he was going to be able to face him. Maybe there are people here today that feel like Peter. You want to believe, but there is just too much history. You have got too much pain. It's just too difficult to believe that Jesus' resurrection could wipe away all that pain of the past. Let me tell you a simple truth about Resurrection Sunday, about any Sunday, about any day, about Jesus' love. Jesus can forgive. Jesus can heal your hurt. Jesus can wipe away any pain that you have. In Jesus' eyes, there is no past when you come to him. Peter went in and examined the evidence for himself. He saw the linen that had wrapped Jesus' body and the piece of cloth that had been around Jesus' head. It was enough to prove that something had happened there, but it was not enough to prove that Jesus was alive. Another account of this event in the book of Luke says that Peter was wondering to himself what had happened. Peter was a skeptic. We see that in Scripture. He needed more evidence. Then Peter did one of the most foolish things in his entire life. Many would argue that this was more foolish than even denying Jesus three times in the courtyard. In verse 10, it says, he simply left. He left to go home. Something as important as this, an empty tomb, and he left without even coming to a conclusion as to what had exactly happened. If Peter had just hung around just a little while longer, he would have gotten to experience the same miracle that Mary Magdalene got to experience. There wasn't enough evidence because he did not hang around long enough. Too many people do not have enough evidence to place their faith in Jesus because of the simple reason that they do not hang around long enough. They do not read God's word enough. They do not spend enough time around God's people. They do not spend enough time in prayer. They get up off their knees or they walk out of the door of the church just before the miracles start happening. And they miss it. They're not present to see the miracle of God's transforming and changing power. Do not leave until you see a miracle. And I'm not talking about wine turning into wine. I'm not talking about walking on water. I'm not talking about bringing death to life. That's not the miracle I'm talking about. I'm talking about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit working in a people that embraces it and seeks and drives and creates change. That's the miracle in the world today. Do not leave until you see a miracle. Peter walked away from that empty tomb with his heart still broken, still questioning, not sure what he saw. That brings us to our final individual, Mary Magdalene, the brokenhearted. When Peter and John left, she stayed. The angel asked a good question to her, "Why are you crying?" Back over in verse 1, it says that Mary came to the tomb while it was still dark. That not only talks about the fact that the sun had not risen yet, it talks about the conditions of our very hearts. It was the deepest, darkest times of their lives. Mary was depressed. Psychologists will tell you that depression comes when you have lost something of value to you. The more valuable the person or thing you lose, the deeper the depression. Mary had lost that which was most valuable to her than anything else. She had lost Jesus. That meant a lot to her. To her, Jesus meant release. To her, Jesus meant peace. To her, Jesus meant forgiveness. To her, Jesus meant someone to believe in. To her, Jesus was leadership. Five essential qualities in a leader. That's who Jesus was to Mary, and she lost it all. She thought that it was all gone. So she cried. She wept. But she stayed around long enough. She stayed around long enough, and a miracle happened. She saw the Lord. Seeing the Lord. That is what Mary wanted more than anything else in the world, and she wanted it more than anyone else did. She wanted to see him so bad that she did not allow the lewd comments or threats that the soldiers made at the foot of the cross to push her away. She wanted to see him so badly that even though his face was bloody and his body was mangled from torture, she did not turn away from him when he hung there on the cross. She wanted to see him so badly that when his body was taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb by Joseph, she stayed. And then, when the tomb was sealed and the stone rolled to the entrance, she sat outside the tomb and watched. The only thing that could pull her away was the Sabbath. And as soon as the Sabbath was over, she was right back at Jesus' side again. Mary wanted to see him. Mary got her desire. And her simple response was, "I have seen the Lord." What a powerful testimony. Each one of us here is like one of these three witnesses to the empty tomb. All three witnessed the tomb that day. All three saw the same tomb and examined the same evidence. And all three had different reactions. Each one of us has the opportunity to examine the same evidence. Many of you are like John.
You see the empty tomb and you believe. Jesus says that you are blessed. Rejoice that Jesus is alive. It means that you will live with him for all eternity. Some of you are like Peter. You see the empty tomb and you do not know what to believe. There is something going on, but you do not know what. And you say, I do not understand all this religion stuff. I do not understand why people will willingly give up every Sunday morning, give up their sleep and free time and come to church. There is only one way that you'll ever understand. You stick around. You stick around. You don't just go home and come back next Easter. Come back again and again until you see the miracle of your own life changed. Stay a long time at the foot of the cross. Stay a long time at the empty tomb, and I will promise you that you will see miracles happen. Then some of you are like Mary. You see the empty tomb. You see the change in people's lives, and you think there has got to be some explanation of what has happened. Mary did not believe either to start with, but she hung around long enough to have her questions answered and her faith grown. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've come here with questions. Either you're not quite sure about what happened on that day, or more likely, you are not sure how what happened impacts your life on this day. You ask, what does it all mean, or what does it all mean for me? Since Jesus is alive, Jesus can be to you all those things that Mary thought that she had lost. Release, peace, forgiveness, a sense of purpose, and leadership. And I am pretty sure in those list of five things, every single one of us in here needs a little bit of something of those five things. Maybe you're ready to believe in Jesus today. Maybe you have had your prayers answered, and today, like Mary, you've hung around long enough and you are ready to see Jesus. You have seen him, you've embraced him, and you're ready to turn it over to him. Resurrection Sunday is a great day to walk the aisle. And I say that as a pastor, but I also say that as a friend. Because this is Resurrection Sunday. And that goes for Jesus, but that also goes for our eternal lives as well. If you are not ready today, then I want to encourage you to be like Mary a little bit. Hang around a little bit longer. Come back next Sunday and the next and the next. Come back until you see Jesus, because he will show himself. I promise you that. How do I know this? Because of one simple truth we've been proclaiming throughout this entire worship service. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's pray. Father, for the empty tomb, we give you thanks. And that's all we have to say. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn this morning, maybe today you're ready to embrace the risen Lord for the first time. I'll be down front. Maybe today you have questions about this body of believers to embrace a family that loves Christ, embraces the Spirit, and sees and seeks to make difference in the world. First Baptist Elon could be that home. I'll be down front. Or maybe today you just have questions. I'll be down front as well. The altar's open. Our deacons will pray with you. I'll pray with you. Whatever it is, make Resurrection Sunday a memorable Sunday for you. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Go in peace.